Double dice.
Hi guys, welcome back to Double Dose.
Hello.
Hey Taylor, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
What's been going on?
Well, I recently filmed my very first BG collab, my professional first BG collab with another fellow creator.
I saw.
Yeah, with Ryan James.
How did it go?
It was really good. I was like a little bit nervous. I think I've always been nervous to do it with someone who's like a professional because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't really. Like,
and you both, I guess, have expectations of what you want to get out of it.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Both profiting somewhat.
Yeah. And like I'd always filmed POV content,
yeah,
which is very different to like a tripod, I feel. Mm. There's a lot more involved when it's like a full wide angle shot.
You have to worry about more.
Yeah. What do I look like? Do I, like, is this a good angle?
Yeah.
Is the position good? There's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
But no, it went really well. And I'm so happy my fans love it.
So. Yay, that's so good. So
yeah,
exciting.
I know.
Congrats.
Thank you.
It's a milestone. Have you got a crazy story?
I do. So, oh God, I'm hoping this person doesn't listen to this, but basically, like, it would have been maybe 6 years ago. I was working in a boutique. It was like a brand management agency. It was a little boutique agency that looked after three brands, like sales and social media kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was basically, I was a salesperson.
Yeah.
And I hated the job because I am not a salesperson. I hate doing sales. Anyway, I had this boss and he was just a bit weird. Like it was just strange. Anyway, he was leaving to go and move to Queensland and two of the other employees were quitting. So okay. I was the last employee and he says to me, I want you to take over all three brands. I'm going to move to Queensland. You're going to be on 60K a year and you've got all this work of three jobs. Like you're going to be working three people's jobs. And I was like, that's not happening. So I went and found a new job and I realized in the contract that it didn't have like a period of like I didn't have to give notice basically.
Yeah.
I could just like leave the day that I said I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But I was really nice and I gave 2 weeks notice. So I think I called him to let him know and obviously he wasn't happy. And I was really nervous to come into the office, but I came into the office the day after and I was like, okay, I'm going to leave halfway through the day and work from home for the rest of the day. And I told him this.
Yeah.
And I was walking out of the office and this was on Chapel Street in front of like a really busy, popular cafe.
Yeah.
Walking past this cafe and he starts walking past me. He happens to be coming into the office at the same time I'm leaving. He stops me in front of this cafe full of people and verbally abuses the absolute shit out of me.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Just unleashes on me. And I'm this, like, innocent, naive little girl who just is like, I don't know what to say or do. I had tears in my eyes and this whole cafe went absolute dead silent and was just watching me get abused by this man.
What an asshole.
He was such an asshole, but the story gets weirder. After that, after I left, hadn't heard from him, whatever. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
About 2 months ago, he follows me on Instagram.
Oh, always.
This man is married with two kids. He might be divorced now. Their relationship was a bit rocky, to be honest. But he slid into my DMs and he started replying to my like lingerie stories, being like,
what?
You look so sexy. I love your new hair. And saying all these really inappropriate things. Actually commented on one of my Instagram posts, something super inappropriate. I can't even remember what it was. To the point that one of my friends responded to his comment being like, this is so inappropriate. You're married and you're like 50 years old.
That's so
how
gross.
Weird is that?
You should just out him.
I know, but like I just don't want drama.
He's outed enough right now.
Exactly.
Anyone wants to find people it, will, sure find
yeah,
the comment.
Exactly. People will be able to find the comment. But it's just so wrong.
That's so bad.
Yeah. And I'm like, all of a sudden you're interested in me, but back when I worked for you, you were a dickhead to me. Like,
yeah, roasted me
yeah.
in the city.
Also, I was like really young when I worked for him. I was like 21. Like that just makes me feel so uncomfortable. Like, did he think I was like, was he
hot
attracted?
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me, my screen crawl.
Yeah.
It's yucky.
It's very yucky.
Anyway, what about yours?
I don't know how I feel about mine now. Okay. So as you know, I've been a little bit cheeky with my business cards.
Yes.
Scattering them all around Newcastle. A lot of people have come and subscribed and like love it. They're like, oh, this is the best marketing. It's so funny.
It
whatever.
Is good marketing.
My boyfriend thought it would be funny to throw some off our balcony on a Saturday night because we're like live near some bars and whatever. A lot of people would have seen it. He throws a pile of business cards off our balcony. And where do they go?
Onto the balcony below.
Yep.
Oh, no.
So on the balcony below us is bikini photos with my whole ass out. And I have no idea who lives below us, but they've got some really nice plants underneath. So I'm like, it's going to be some wholesome little old couple. Yeah. So we had to go into Operation Rescue.
No, you went down.
We crafted a contraption collect them from the balcony below, which consisted of a long iPhone charger, the 1.2 meter one, a stake that I took out of my Monstera plant. Which was like also over a meter.
You meant like a meat steak.
No, like a plant steak. You're vegan. To keep my plant up.
Yeah.
So we taped them together. So we had the charger, the steak. It would have been almost 3 meters.
Right.
Which with an arm's length would just hit it.
Right.
And then we put double-sided tape on the end of the charger and literally went fishing.
Did it work?
Yep.
That is so good. Did you film it?
No.
Oh, you should have filmed it. I would have paid to see that. That is so funny.
It was so funny.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it worked.
It worked.
How much time did that take you?
Probably 20 minutes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like 2 hours.
No, it was quick.
Wow, you guys are smart.
Yeah.
I would have been like,
we need to get these right now because they're going to come out. And then imagine just like sitting there because the lounge room is right there and the balcony is behind. Okay. It's the same layout as ours. Imagine sitting there, you're just watching TV and you see this phone charger come down.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
So it's crazy, but the outcome was good.
Yeah. Oh my God, great. I love it.
Well, I was hoping it would take like a bit of a twist and they came out and saw you like.
No.
But I don't think it's the wildest story. I think Annie's won for this.
Oh, wow.
It's a great story.
It's a good story. Yeah.
But I think Annie's won for the wildest story.
Okay.
And that's all right. You should out the guy, but that's my opinion.
It's okay. Wait, as long as I don't spill it. It literally never gets better.
Yeah, the burn. It hits hard.
Okay, for this next segment, we're going to do something a little bit new.
I'm just so excited.
It's going to be fun. We're going to decide if some common behaviors are red flags or icks.
Yep, I'm excited for this. I think everyone has maybe a slightly different opinion on what a red flag and what an ick is. I think a red flag is something that's like, it's almost like you can't go near them. Like, that's it. Don't even pursue them kind of thing.
Okay.
Because that's a red flag and it could lead to something else that, you know, they're just like not mentally stable or something.
Yeah.
Whereas an ick is something that you can overcome. An ick is like, oh, like that gives me an ick. But like, if you really love them, you can overlook that. That's my opinion.
Okay.
What's yours?
I'm similar. I think a red flag is, you're right, like something a little bit deeper. Like it's a
steeper,
behavior that they probably can't change.
Exactly.
Whereas an ick is something that's just so harmless, but you're still like, oh.
That's a good way of explaining it. Yeah.
I think a red flag is a bit more serious.
It is.
And an ick is... But some people get the ick and you can't undo it.
But you know what I think that is? I think if you get the ick and you can't continue, there's something else.
It's a red flag.
Yeah, okay. You're not into.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we going to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Do you want to start?
Yeah. Men that don't eat coriander.
I think that's just an ick.
It's just an ick. I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't care about that. That's not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Is it even an ick? I don't really care. I don't think it's an ick for me.
I think it's just... I don't think it's an ick. I don't know. Is it an ick?
Maybe it's just a bit childish.
It's a bit childish. Like come on, grow up. All right. Men that like pineapple on pizza.
I like pineapple on pizza.
See, I think ick.
Not an ick. Not an ick and not
like,
a red flag.
It's not a red flag. Like that would be a bit dramatic for me to say. But I don't like pineapple on pizza. I think pineapple is a fruit. It should be.
It is a fruit.
Eaten cold.
Tomato is also a fruit though.
Okay, we're going to be one of those people.
Okay, fussy eaters.
Oh,
this would be, I couldn't deal.
I think this is borderline red flag because there has to
mummy
be...
issues.
That's what I'm thinking. Mummy issues.
Like, why can't you just eat normal?
Why can't you eat like a normal human being? You're 26. Like what, you won't have your bacon touching your... avocado, or you don't like avocado?
Or you can only go out if it's like the pub because they just want like
a Palmer
nuggets and
chicken,
chips. Yeah.
Yeah, chicken fingers and chips.
Yeah. That would be a deal breaker. So red flag.
Red flag. Yeah, definitely. Men that don't offer to pay on the first date.
So they don't offer at all?
They don't offer to pay.
I think it's a bit of an ick.
I think.
At least offer.
I think, is it an ick or a red flag? I think it's a red flag.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they should at least offer. I'm sorry, like I've said this before on previous episodes, I'm more than happy to split the bill, but I think they should always offer. I think it's nice to say, like, I've really enjoyed this date.
Yeah.
You're worth this to me. Like, I want to be here with you. I'm willing to pay
for you. They didn't offer and you had to pay and they didn't say anything,
yeah, I would never see them again. No. Because it's just rude. Like, but then, like, and, you know, if they always offer to pay, I say, oh, no, like, you know, I'm happy to pay or, like, whatever. And if they're happy to go halves, that's fine.
Yeah.
But they have to at least offer. Yeah. Even if it's not a genuine offer and they don't want to, like, you just have to offer. That's just how it is.
I think.
You're a gentleman.
That it would be, I would be a bit, like, icked. I would just pay and then probably not see them again.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right on that one. Men who are super into social media.
This is just an ick. For me.
I think it's a red flag. I think it's further than an ick.
You think it's a red flag?
Like, why are you on there? What are you doing?
Yeah, like, who do you have to prove anything to do? Does anyone care? Sorry, it's so mean.
I'm like, if I didn't have to go on for my job, I wouldn't be on as much.
I agree. I'm the same. Because I sometimes like, I hate it. But
the world, there's so much more to look at.
There is so much more important things to do than showing your abs on your Instagram.
Yeah, if someone was really into it and, like, obsessed, if a guy said, oh my god, can you take a photo of me in front of this view, I'd be like,
so ick. So ick. But then I'm like, I wonder if they think that about us.
Probably.
Yeah,
but we need to do it. We're different.
Yeah, this is like our job, you know. But like, if they're doing it because they want to be an influencer, ick.
Kayla's so cracking up.
I feel like you have double standards.
We do.
For a lot of these.
Yeah, we do have double standards. And you know what? It's allowed.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm undecided.
Undecided, but like leading towards red flag. I'm still stuck on ick. I think it's an ick.
Okay. I think it's a red flag.
All right. Men that party too much.
Red flag. Don't bother.
I agree.
It's boring.
You're too old to be doing that. Like, I'm so fine with, like, oh, you're going to have a few friends over, or you're going to go out to a bar for a little bit or whatever.
That's cool. That's fun.
That's normal. If you're staying up till 7 a.m. every single weekend binge drinking, that's not it.
My boyfriend saw his best friend for the first time in almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Not last weekend, the weekend before.
Yeah.
They went out. I had to pick him up at 2 a.m. Like, absolutely written off. I was like, wow, this is a sight to see.
Yeah.
The next day he's like, why didn't I have fun? I'm like, because you're 32 and you went to a club with 18-year-olds.
Yes. What, like, exactly.
You couldn't even talk to your friend who you haven't seen. What are you expecting?
Yeah.
Well, it was a red flag.
It is. Yeah. It's a red flag. You were like, oh, it might be over.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree. Huge red flag.
Yeah. All right. What have we got next? Men that have a messy bedroom.
Okay. Oh, it's borderline red flag.
I think red flag for me, yeah. Because I'm at a stage where I obviously don't live with my parents.
Yes.
And I have to clean and cook and do everything for myself. True. And if a guy is not doing that, in my head, I'm like, he's waiting for someone else to do it for him.
True. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. I was just thinking, like, grow up again.
Yeah.
Like, you're 32 and you can't clean your own bedroom. Like, what are the weekends for? That's also a sign that maybe they're going out and partying. And
yeah, they don't have the time.
And, like, it just gives off slob vibes.
I think that's a
red flag.
I agree. Don't pursue.
No.
Mm-mm. Cut it off.
For sure. Men that wear budgie smugglers.
You know what? So many guys in Newcastle wear budgie smugglers.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your opinion?
I think it's an ick. It's not a red flag.
It's not a red flag. I actually, I'm almost like, if they're doing it as a joke, it's funny. But if they're doing it seriously and they think that, like, they look really hot, that's an ick.
I have one guy who I'm friends with in mind. He'll probably listen. So yeah. I can't say anything.
Damn it. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's quite common at home.
That's so
my gym is actually getting custom made budgie smugglers.
No way.
Our gym concrete on the back.
But it takes some balls, literally, to be able to wear them.
Literally.
So, like, I mean, good on them, I guess.
Just a bit of a nick. Just, it's a small
If I was going on a beach date and he rocked up in Budgie Smugglers, I probably wouldn't see him again.
So it's a red flag?
Oh, no, not a red flag. It depends. It depends if the date went really well, I would just be like, oh, he's just funny. Like, it's just, you know, it's fine. Yeah. But if he was, like, a shit guy, I'd be like, see ya. So it just depends on who's wearing them, in my opinion. Oh,
right.
There's
line.
The double standard.
If you're hot, it's okay. Yes. If you're not, it's not okay. Okay, men that talk about money a lot.
Oh, I think it's a red flag.
I don't mind it.
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking like...
Unless you're broke.
Yeah, true.
Stop talking about it.
I'm thinking of it like... Oh, yeah, I just bought this new Porsche. And, oh, yeah, my mum's, like, coming from a really wealthy family. And, like, talking about, like, possessions and...
Right, being really materialistic.
Materialistic.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think I'm looking at it from a relationship perspective. Like, if you talk about money healthily, I think
that's
good.
That's different.
But if you're boasting...
If you're boasting, yeah. So I think that is dependent on what sort of...
On the context.
Yeah. But also, if you went on a first date and they're talking about all this stuff that has to do with money, that's a red flag.
Okay, on a first date, yeah, red flag. Yeah. What about men that talk about their ex on the first date?
That's a red flag.
They're still thinking and caring and loving.
Yeah. I've been on dates where they were speaking about their ex on the first date and I'm like, I don't really want to hear about this.
No.
Leave it to like the sixth date, then we'll get to exes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
That's a good line.
Yeah. All right. I laughed when I saw this. Shit car after 26.
This links back to money because they don't have their shit together.
I agree. I think it's, I don't know.
I think it's a red flag.
Can I side with the guy here?
Yeah.
What happens if they just studied like to be a doctor and they just haven't got the money from that yet?
Again, it's sort of like a situational thing.
But you're putting yourself in thousands of dollars of debt still. Yeah. So when are they going to have a good car when they're 60?
Yeah, good point. I think, I don't know.
I saw this thing. It was actually one of the Tate brothers, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Where it's like when you have a good car, like a sports car, and you have white hair, no one cares.
That's so true.
So you need to have a sexy car when you're in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't love it. If I went on a date with a guy and he had a shit car, I'd be questioning what's going on. If he's 32 and he's still driving like a 90s Hyundai or something, I don't even know, then like I'd be like, I don't know about this. Why don't you have a new updated your car? Can you not afford it? What's the go?
I think we're a bit pretentious with this, you and I.
Shit.
But I don't really care.
Oh well, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, I could overlook it though, so maybe for me it's Nick. Because if I really loved him and we vibed.
It's not a, you don't have to cut them off, but it's just a bit of an
ick. It's a Nick. Yeah, agreed.
Because that means you will have to drive him everywhere if you're not getting in a shit box.
Yeah.
I understand Caleb's perspective too. But
I think 30, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think 26.
Maybe.
Maybe anything above 26. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's an age thing.
Yeah, okay. It is probably an age thing.
Poor hygiene or shaving habits.
What does this mean?
Like.
Oh, poor hygiene.
If they're just.
What's a shaving habits?
Just don't care. Like, I don't know. Like, you. Say you're going to the movies mm-hmm. and he's a tradie.
Yeah.
Been at work all day and just rocks up in his clothes.
No. Hygiene's really important to
me. That's an ick.
Yeah. And like bad breath and stuff like that. No, that's a huge ick.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could overlook that either.
So is it a red flag?
I think so. I think it's a red flag. Because why can't you look after yourself? I think so too. Do I have to do that for you?
Clean your room and brush your teeth?
Yeah, literally.
All right, red flag.
Yeah, red flag. All right, indecision, can't make plans or makes plans, but then they don't feel like it.
I think this is a red flag. This grinds my gears so much.
I think it's a red flag.
I hate this.
You know what I hate is when you get asked out by a guy and then you're like, okay, so what are we doing? And they're like, you decide. I don't know. You pick. No, I want to be told we're going out for dinner at 7 p.m. at this restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's only ever happened once in my life that a guy's done that. It's always.
It's not hard.
It's not that fucking hard to make a decision. I don't care. I just want to be told what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to decide. You wanted to take me out. You choose.
What about like even just getting dinner? Be like, oh, yeah, we'll get dinner. And they're just like, well, what do you want? You're like, just take me. I don't care. And they're like, no, tell me what you want.
I know. Or even like just in general, when they have to make a decision and they can't make one, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I can't make a decision.
Red flag.
Agreed.
They need to be the man.
Yeah. That was fun. I like that segment. That was fun. Okay, Taylor, so we have a new segment this week. I'm excited. We are doing follower confessions. So we basically asked our followers to tell us their deepest, darkest secrets. And we're obviously going to keep them anonymous, but we're going to share them because they're quite funny.
You guys came through with some goss.
You really did. Do you want to start it off?
I will. It's so tempting to read the name.
I know.
not tempting, but my brain just goes straight to that. Like, oh, I'll read that first. Anyway, I love being dominated by women and choking me and squirting on my face.
I feel like, is that common?
I think that's kind of common.
Yeah.
But we're exposed to that a lot.
We are because of our jobs. So maybe some people aren't exposed to that as much. Yeah.
That's a good kink.
It is.
Hot.
Now, a lot of these are interesting. Are we going to read those ones?
Yeah, if we have no comment, we can just move on.
Okay, so we're just moving on to the good ones.
No, I mean, I think we should read them.
Okay, all right. Definitely want to cream pie Annie. That's a good confession. That's fair enough.
fair play. The next one's kind of similar. I'd let you both shower me.
Yeah, fair.
Is this an actual shower or a shower like what we were talking about in the first confession?
I wonder. I'm in the swinging lifestyle and enjoying it so much. I think that this is, I've heard that there's a huge culture of this on the Gold Coast, swinging.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At least I've heard it through like our industry.
There you go. That's cool.
Yeah.
I have been a sugar daddy for a year, slept with 20 plus girls in their 20s. I'm 46, married with kids.
Okay. Well, the married bit, I don't know about that.
Hopefully she knows.
If she knows, fine.
Because from what we have heard in the industry, it's not cheap to be a sugar daddy.
Yeah, no, it's
so
not.
So surely the wife knows about
that.
Oh,
yeah, it'd be pretty hard to hide.
If there's 20 plus girls, if you think about it,
yeah, Jesus,
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
So hopefully she knows.
Hopefully she knows. But hey, no judgment.
No judgment.
Only slept with escorts.
I feel good that these people can come to us.
Same. I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of.
I wonder how old this person is.
Yeah. I know people. Actually, I know one person who has only slept with escorts in real life. I'm not going to say who.
I've blown my load without being touched.
I have had a situation with a guy that
I haven't, but I've have subscribers who do this and like it. That's their thing.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know about that. Yeah. What, a guy that I can't even say I slept with him. He was on his way.
He was getting there.
Yeah. And that was it. So
don't be embarrassed. I think it happens.
It does happen. I was fine. I was like, well, whatever. We'll just wait and then we'll go for round two.
Yeah.
I've got the hots for my real estate agent. She's a hot MILF, but she's got a BF. I love this.
That's so good. That's so
funny.
I think
real estate agents are hot.
Yeah, they always are because they have to look so well put together.
I feel like I had a real estate agent that showed me the house that I'm renting at the moment, and he's like 60 years old, but he rocked up in a suit, and I was like, he's kind of hot. He's a bit of a dilf.
I had a threesome with my girl and her female boss during lockdown in our hot tub.
No way. That reminds me of Hannah's story. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
that's like a dream. Yeah. You know what I mean? I get hard watching Annie's reels and TikToks. The action she gets on a regular basis is wow.
That is so funny.
Love it.
When I had some me time in high school, I always thought about my PE teacher.
I feel like the teacher thing's common. Yeah. I had a crush on my maths teacher when I was in like year 10.
I really think that's common because that's the only exposure that you have to, I guess, adults.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you're with them for so many hours of the day too.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't help if they've got a good personality, you might have a little crush.
Yeah.
Okay, during dom submissive relationship, I let my mistress's friend drain me financially and not tell her.
Oh, because he was in he had like one dominatrix but let someone else dominate him.
Oh,
that is cheeky.
Oh, that's cheeky.
With mutual consent, I kissed my mistress's boot in public. We were doing dom sub.
I want to know if people were like looking.
Probably.
They're probably like, what is going on here?
I've only ever had exposure to this kind of kink since doing OF. And I don't think I'm very good at it.
The dom submissive. Yeah, no, I'm not very good at dominating.
I try.
In the OnlyFans world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at it. But I always try and learn and like do different things.
Yeah, me too. I love this one. I love super corny porn. Ha ha ha. It's so entertaining, makes the experience more fun. I wish this person had expanded on what they think super corny porn is. Because when I was younger, I used to love like the scenarios. And I know everyone says that they skip the scenarios, but I used to like watch the full scenario.
Really? I used to skip 40-minute video.
Liked it. I was like, how does it start? I want to see how it progresses. And I don't know.
It's kind of educating too, I guess.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I liked it.
That was the last one, I think.
Yeah. That was fun. You guys are funny.
Yeah. Very on brand with us.
Yeah. Okay, we are very excited to welcome our first non-OnlyFans guest, Emma Bruno. Welcome.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you.
I'm excited. This is the first time I've ever done this.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, we're honored to be your first.
Thank you.
So, Emma, you are a provisional psychologist.
Yes.
Can you explain to us what that means?
Yeah, many people don't really know what that means. If someone is a provisional psychologist, they are in the last part of their training to becoming a fully registered psychologist. So we've satisfied all our uni requirements, mm-hmm. and we're in the last 2 years of internship. Mm-hmm. And then once you do that, you're a generally registered psychologist. So I gained provisional registration at the start of this year.
Yeah.
And then I'm expected to gain general registration at the end of next year.
Oh, exciting.
So exciting.
Very exciting.
You would have to be pretty passionate to go through all of that study. What made you choose to go into that field?
Yeah, passion is required. my biggest motivator to get into psychology was I was so unhappy with the access to mental health services in Australia. I am someone who's always been considerably well off. I'm fortunate to say that, and I've still struggled to access mental health services.
Yeah, wow.
So I just thought, if there's just one more psychologist out there that with open books, then that's just a few more people that can get in.
Yeah.
And that was my big motivation.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long does it take to be a proper psychologist? How long does it take from like when you start studying to when you're actually a fully qualified psychologist?
It's a long time. You don't really realize and you don't learn how long it takes until you're at the end of your first degree. So it takes 6 years.
Oh my goodness.
From the start. So you do your bachelor first for 3 years, mm-hmm. then you do your honours, which is your fourth year, and then you do your master's, which I'm doing my master's now. I finished my master's this year.
Yeah.
After I finish my master's, I have 1 year of internship next year, which is 1,500 hours.
Wow.
And then I'll be generally registered. But no one really tells you until you get to the end of your bachelor.
Right.
And they go, hey, by the way,
there's some
you
more.
Can't use this.
Oh, no.
There's some more. You need more debt, more hours, more years without working because uni's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see the light at the end of the tunnel now, which
you're
is awesome.
There.
Yeah, you're so close.
So is there an area of psychology that you're looking to focus on?
Not really at this stage, no. Where I'm at in my internship, I'm getting to work with a lot of different demographics, which I'm enjoying. I'm really liking working with teenagers at the moment. So that could be something I go into, but I don't have a preference. Maybe not little kids. Yeah. I enjoy working with kids, but working with parents can be challenging.
That's true.
So
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, the kids are great. The kids are adorable, but working with children, with the parents can be really challenging.
Overbearing parents especially.
Yeah, and in denial sometimes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I can imagine they probably think that there's something their child needs, but it's maybe not quite what you think that they need.
Yeah.
There's that. And I think there's that aspect of guilt as well with their child ends up having a disorder they weren't expecting. They feel they're to blame for it, which they're not.
Yeah.
And depending on the disorder as well, there can be a mourning period of mourning the child they thought they had.
Oh, that's really
sad. Yeah. Yes, it can be a tricky one to navigate.
Yeah. So Taylor and I discussed on a previous episode anxious attachment styles and the different attachment styles. And Taylor and I are both anxious attachment styles. Do you have any advice for us to
I do.
Help?
Yes. I love that you did attachment styles. Yeah. Attachment styles is awesome. It's one part of you. It doesn't define you.
Mm-hmm.
So becoming aware of it and recognizing it is really powerful, and it's how you can make a real positive change if you want to change your attachment style.
Yeah.
But just acknowledge it, but don't make your whole personality.
Yeah.
Don't make it everything.
Yeah. I think I used to do that, and now I'm at a point where it's like, okay, yep, it's who I am. I know how to deal with it. I'm aware of it. Mm. And I think that, like, you make decisions based off of it a little bit more. Yeah. Like, I actively decide to be like, okay, I'm not going to do that because I know that's just my anxious attachment.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say as well is if your anxious attachment is trauma related,
mm-hmm.
Get some specialized therapy if you're wanting to work through that, if you feel comfortable. But yeah, again, that's a slippery slope to go down. Sometimes you got to be ready if you want to work through that trauma.
Yeah.
But that's another piece of advice.
Yeah, that's really good advice, actually.
Yeah.
I recently did my attachment style quiz a couple of weeks ago. So it's funny you brought it up. I'd done it years ago.
Yeah.
And I got secure attachment, which is nice.
Ooh, yeah. We love that.
I don't think I've always had secure attachment. I know I haven't.
Yeah.
But in the last 6 years, especially doing psychology and being in a relationship, I've done so much inner work, mm-hmm. so much therapy myself as well, and it's taken a lot for me to get here, and I don't think I always display a secure attachment, but I do to the core think I now resonate with the secure attachment style.
That's really nice to know that you can change your attachment style, that it can change over time. That
Absolutely.
Gives me hope.
I think a lot of people need to know that.
Yeah, I think that's important.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I thought it was forever.
Yeah, and you could work on it and, like, I guess be better, but I didn't know you could completely change your attachment style.
No, we're not fixed. Neuroplasticity, nothing's fixed. We can grow, we can change.
We've got some work to do.
You can help us.
Okay. And my partner is fearful avoidant attachment style, actually. He did his
research. He's a what? Sorry?
Fearful attachment style. Oh. Yeah. Or disorganized, I think it's sometimes called.
Yeah.
Which that's been interesting to navigate as well.
Yeah. I haven't heard of that one. I'd only ever heard of anxious attachment and avoidant attachment.
Yep.
So that's interesting.
Mm. More research.
Yeah.
I think his is the most unique attachment style.
Is it?
I think only 1-5% of the population have it.
Wow. Yeah. Rare.
Yep.
So you moved to the Gold Coast from Melbourne a few years ago. Mm. Why did you make the move?
A handful of reasons. I got into my fourth year, my honours year at Bond Uni up here. So that is what I would say was the primary reason. Yep. And I love it. I love it so much. I wish I did my bachelor up here at Bond. And my partner and I had ummed and ahed about changing the scenery for a bit. We had lived together from 3 months in our relationship and we just wanted to change it up and thought, just change the city. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I love when people do that.
Yeah. I think it's such an important thing to do at least once in your life.
Agreed.
Is move away from your home city.
Yeah.
I mean, all three of us now seem pretty happy to not be where we grew up.
Exactly. So I'm never moving back.
No. Sydney's not going to see me for a long time.
So you have a twin sister, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
Was it really hard to move away from her and all your friends and family?
Oh, yeah. That was hard. The morning that I left, we were just holding each other and crying for, I think, like 45 minutes. Yeah, it was hard. We obviously have gotten more comfortable being apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it sort of takes about the 2-3 month period where we haven't physically seen each other when we're going, oh, okay, this is getting tricky now. One of us books a flight. But that was very challenging.
Yeah.
But it's been so beneficial for us because we've always been so close.
Yeah.
And it makes the time together fonder.
Yeah,
we appreciate our presence and being with each other more.
Yeah, I always see your stories when you guys are together. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, we do not waste a single moment together.
Yeah.
And my family and friends as well, it was, of course, hard to leave them. I adore my circle back in Melbourne, and it's a reason why I will go back eventually because I have such a special group of people in my network there that were challenging to – it was really hard to say goodbye to them, but it makes it so much special when more special when I see them.
Yeah, when you go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holidays and whatnot.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So you said you live with your partner mm-hmm. and you guys have been together for a while.
Yes.
How did you guys meet?
We met in a nightclub 6 years ago. Was not supposed to last over 6 years.
Can I ask what nightclub?
I can. It was at Billboards on the Thursday. Oh, so Lucky Thursdays. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister was DJing there.
Oh.
And he was just there.
It's just meant to be.
Apparently.
Here we are now.
In the stars. Yeah.
That's so cute.
So he has his own business. Mm-hmm. I have major admiration for anyone who has their own business.
Same.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. He works around the clock. He has his own digital marketing agency.
So cool.
And he's done that for 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. It was born out of COVID. And he is so dedicated. You know how people say you quit a 9-to-5 to work 24/7?
Yeah.
And he epitomizes all of that. Mm-hmm. I'll watch him in the office do 8, 10, 12, 14 hours just wow. straight staring at his computer, which I cannot do.
I can't
that.
Do that. No. Not with my ADHD.
I cannot do that. So I have a lot of admiration for how dedicated he is to his craft.
It's really amazing.
He's always researching his industry as well. He's always wanting to learn and better himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to be if you're running a business.
If you want it to be successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's so amazing.
Mm.
Has he always been supportive of your journey to become a psychologist?
Yeah. So this was a conversation we had to have when I was sort of in year 3 of uni. I had mapped out the pathway to becoming a psychologist, the commitment it required. And what that meant was there'd be a few years I really wouldn't be able to work, or if I was, it'd be minimal income. And I had to ask him, is this scenario going to work for us? If it's not, we'll have to figure something else out. And
yeah.
and he said, yes, we'll make it work. So that's the biggest support, is he's the primary provider for the household, and he has been for the last 2 years since I've been studying full time.
So yeah, that's really yeah. amazing.
And of course he's good shoulder to cry on when uni's becoming a bit much and deloading from work as well.
Yeah.
So we have one final question for you.
Yes.
If you could give any advice to our listeners on how to have a healthy and happy relationship, what would it be?
My biggest one, and I do find myself coming back to this point often, is no matter how annoying your partner is, especially if they're a straight male, and they bother you and they just really get on your nerves, if you can understand you also get on their nerves,
mm-hmm.
you also can be really annoying.
Yeah.
That's really going to save a lot of arguments. It's going to diffuse a lot of situations.
That's true.
And that's something I find myself working on as well, is when I just really want to snap at him, I understand that I've probably done a few things this week that have also pissed him off.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is for minor things like your icks and little tiffs. I'm not talking about major complexities in your relationships. Fix them. But, you know, you're two humans having this human experience together, mm-hmm. and sometimes you end up at different points of the journey.
Yeah.
And the other person's got to catch up, mm-hmm. and maybe you've got to wait for them and vice versa. But ultimately you're so lucky to be in your relationship, and you don't know how much time you have together. And if you found someone to annoy for the rest of your life, you're blessed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. That's such a good point, actually. I can tell you there's been times with like my family even where like I've started to get annoyed at them, and then I've been like, hang on a second, Annie, you're really fucking annoying sometimes. Like, don't pick up on it. Don't mention anything. Let it go.
Yeah.
And it saves you fights for sure.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
It's not worth it. Do not sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
You don't know how much time you have with them.
No, that's so true.
Yeah.
Good advice. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
We've loved having someone different on the show. Doesn't do OnlyFans. Can give us some advice on all our therapy needs.
It's been awesome. This has been refreshing, I'm sure, for you.
Yeah. We've learned a lot. It's
much
been
needed.
Really good. Oh,
good. Yeah, I'm sure our listeners are going to love it as well.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's okay. Thank you. To finish us off today, let's reveal another guilty pleasure.
Oh, I love this. What's yours?
Mine is whenever I clean, I like get a little kick out of seeing how dirty everything was.
What do you mean?
Like, especially skirting boards. When it gets dusty, I'm like, wind it down. I'm like, oh.
Oh, so seeing it on the cloth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that feels good.
Yeah. Like, this is so bad. I vacuum our bedroom like every 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'll still be like, oh, that is so cool. But it's kind of gross. God. I'm like, how was that in our bedroom?
That's so funny. It's so weird actually how quickly dust accumulates.
It's kind of scary.
It is.
But I guess we have two big humans in one small space.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My skirting boards get really dusty.
Yeah. I love it.
I might have to have you over.
Oh, I will do it in a heartbeat. That's my guilty pleasure. Cleaning.
Love it. Yeah. Well, that's good. Maybe you should be a cleaner as well. No. You should do cleaning content on your OnlyFans.
That's a good idea.
Naked cleaning vids.
I'll try
it. In a maid outfit. It's your new niche.
Oh, it's done. What is yours?
Okay, so my guilty pleasure is watching conspiracy theories on TikTok. I fucking love it. I used to watch them on YouTube. I love watching aliens, the ones on aliens.
Okay.
What else do I like? Just any like, oh, there's this conspiracy theory on, what are they called? Like, parklands in the US that like all these people go missing when they go like hiking in parklands.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, national parks or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Say. Yeah.
And they just disappear.
They disappear. And then there's been, getting so into it. There's been disappearances where they've disappeared for like 5 years and just showed up. And it's if no time has passed and they're like, have no memory of where they've been for 5 years. People have all these theories on like, it's aliens that have abducted them, done research on them and just dropped them.
Dropped them back.
There's also been like, I'm getting so into it, but there was one story of this person who disappeared in one location and then showed up like, I think only a few days later, completely on the other side of the country. And everyone was like, what the fuck?
What the
and
hell?
They had no recollection of how they got there.
That's so bizarre.
So weird, but I love it.
I have watched like a few short conspiracy theories, but mm-hmm. I definitely haven't gone into it.
I don't think I should. Because you can't get out of it.
I was like, watch a 10-second, oh, like aliens spotted here. I'm like, yeah, cool. I believe it, whatever.
I like all the conspiracies. So now all my FYP page is just like.
All conspiracies.
All conspiracies. And I love it. I'm obsessed. But I just spend like all night watching conspiracies.
Yeah, you'd be up to like 2 a.m.
Yeah, literally. It's so bad.
Of all this knowledge. Vortex.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for listening to us this week, guys.
Make sure if you want to hear anything from us to send us a DM on Instagram or an email. All our socials are doubledose.thepodcast.
And subscribe on Spotify and Apple as well.
We'll see you next week. Double dose.